Joy to each one of you this morning. I'm going to start with a story. I think Sharon, this story is especially for you. Isn't it great to have Sharon here? She's getting healed, getting restored. You're really special. Oh, that's really great. So, be thinking about principles of restoration. Your life restored from what it was in various forms of pain and mess that we have all experienced. And God of love, God of power, God of grace and mercy is powerfully restoring us and invites us into restoration. All right, principles of restoration. Now, this story isn't all that serious, so you just keep that principles of restoration in your mind, all right? So an ad appeared in the paper asking for an individual who was, number one, really fast on the keyboard, number two, could program and run computer software, and furthermore, third, was a great communicator in two languages. So the first applicant for the job is a dog. You think I'm on a roll right now, don't you, Jordan? And the dog sits down at the keyboard and is able to type at 145 words per minute. Really cool dog. Not only can program a computer with anything, but has already written several programming manuals. The prospective employer has the dog demonstrate all these skills and then turns to him and says, "I'm dazzled by your qualifications. So I have only one final question. What about the language requirement?" The dog looks at him and says, "Meow. Meow, meow, meow." So you got the job. So you probably think I'm angling for us getting a dog since I've told two straight stories like this. But actually what I'm angling for, there's a lot of computer tech gifting in this church body, actually an incredible amount. But what I'm really angling for is that we all learn to function in two languages, that we walk in the Spirit, that we pray with our mind and we pray in the Spirit, that we walk in the Spirit, that we learn to hear the voice of the Lord as well as our mind that might usually function in English. And so, got a few more. Principles of restoration. These are quotes from actual newspaper articles. This was quoted verbatim on the Today Show. Researchers have discovered that chocolate produces some of the same reactions in the brain as marijuana. The researchers also discovered other similarities between the two, but can't now remember what they are. Yeah, maybe that research went on a little too long. My comment is, be not drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, let's live. Let's really live. All right. Another actual newspaper quote from a former mayor of New York City, unnamed. Quote, "I haven't committed a crime. What I did was fail to comply with the law." Principles of rest, purifying of the Holy Spirit into holiness that sets us free. And one more, this is from an NBA superstar. I will leave him mercifully unnamed, but a superstar point guard who was traded from a team in the East to the Dallas Mavericks, and he was really excited. And he said, "I can't wait to get there. We're going to turn this team around 360 degrees. So I got a handout here, which bears in to this. I need everybody to have one, and I need everybody to have a pen. We're going to learn everything we can here. Principles of restoration. Life-changing, powerful principles of restoration. Okay, help me out. Everybody get one of these. Here. And then some people over here, please, Angel, somebody else, one more person yet, help me out. Tim, you get them to everybody. And then, If you don't have a pen, can somebody else, two people go around and hand out pens? Somebody help me out. I want everybody to have a pen.
Raise your hand if you need one.
Get a pen. New Testament principles of grace and power. Out of the final three books, they are books of restoration. And here's what I want you to do. On this paper here, on this paper on the front, do you see down at the bottom right, there are three books in a red circle: Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The last three books before the New Testament. You see those? What I would like you to do is, see that big word up on the screen? I would like you to write, right beneath that red circle, restoration. Restoration. They're amazing books of restoration, principles of restoration. They are a direct parallel. I have it up on the screen. They're direct parallel to John 10:10. It says the thief comes only to, that is, the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy us. But I came that you might have life and be restored to life. I want you to have life. I want you to live life the way it was meant to be. I came to restore life. And what's going on here is that sin and rebellion and persistent sin and rebellion and degeneration for the children of Israel resulted in exile, in captivity. You see that on your Bible outline here? 608 BC, the deportation started. Captivity, exile, destruction. 70 years of Babylonian captivity, and it was a direct result of the downward slide of sin and rebellion and degeneration in the people that weakened them and demoralized them. You know what I mean? Demoralized. That's what was going on. 70 years of captivity, and we get to 538 BC, and restoration begins. And there are these three books, and they are books of restoration. Haggai and Zechariah were both written in the 520s BC, as people were on the path to restoration after the brokenness and broken down situation of captivity, the distress, the consequences of sin and rebellion. And so we find in here these powerful, life-giving principles of restoration, which are really New Testament principles. They're preparing the way for the new covenant, for all of humanity to be restored. And so they give us a window of insight here into restoration. Now, I want you to turn your paper over, and I put something on the back that also comes out of this series. Now, I want you to do a bigger circle here, and I hope I can make this clear, but you see up at top where it says the joy of Jesus' kingdom, would you start your circle up above that and then come down around the right-hand side of that column down to where fills the whole earth with the fragrance of Christ in every place? Do you see that? And then at the top of that, I'll go over that one more time, at the top of that write restoration again. Okay, this is putting it out into bigger vision picture of what's going on and actually going on all over the earth right now in dramatic, powerful ways in the power of the Spirit. So did you get that? If you have a pen, I wanted you all to have a pen. Circle the joy of Jesus' kingdom, but don't circle the left-hand side of that column. That's the sin and destruction that we're coming from and we're leaving, all right? We've seen enough of it. Don't circle that. Circle the right-hand column where it goes down through the joy of Jesus' kingdom, God's love, God's power, people restored to unity, servant leaders. Everybody's important. filled with God's Spirit, real love in real relationships, fills the whole earth with the fragrance of Christ. And I want you to circle that and write restoration on the top there, and that's where we're going. You do that? Did that work? That's great, Tim. You know what Tim said over here, the left side, that's the dorky side. So, and Tim also sent me off to Russia when he was getting prepared to be baptized. We had a spiritual victory time in the baptism preparation, and he gave the resounding, the devil is a dork. If you want to know who's the real dork of all dorks, the devil is a dork. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we're not going to get defeated by him. Thank you, Tim. All right, now, let me give you these principles of restoration. It's going to be a lot of light. You can apply these. You can apply these today. You can apply these in an ever-increasing way in your life. Do you hear that? In an ever-increasing way in each of our lives. These are for each one of you. I just want to say, make a connection. We're going to make one more connection. When we circled that on the backhand side about restoration, that's what the unfortunate quote about 360 degrees was about. When you've been in hate and haughty pride and been selfish and divided with meanness and selfishness and destruction of sin and various forms of breakdown and destruction, you don't want to go 360 degrees. You know what happens when you go 360 degrees? You go through all this gyration and dead religion or whatever it is, and you end up back where you started, and it didn't change. What number of degrees do you want to go? No, 180, yeah. You go 180, you go directly out. You go directly. All right, I'm going to do a really quick review, a couple minutes, of the two principles of restoration that are really clear in the restoration book of Haggai from several weeks ago. Now, you don't have to write all that down, but just listen, and maybe write one or two words down, one and two. At the beginning of Haggai, the word comes, it's time to build the house of the Lord. It's time to build God's kingdom. It's time, in the New Testament terms, it's time to come to him, that is, to the Lord, as to a living stone and be made new and into living stones and be built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. It's time to seek first the kingdom of God. You've gotten sort of restored, but you've gotten gone sideways and you've gotten a little bit distracted. Has that ever happened to any of you? You got restored, you got out, and then you got sideways and got a little distracted, and the word of the Lord came and said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything's going to work, and all these other things you need will be added to you. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the number one word in the book of Haggai. Focus. So if you've still got that back side, they said yes. They said yes. It's a really good news story. In verse 12 of Haggai 1, it says, they woke up and they obeyed, and they started to go after God's kingdom with all their heart. It was a really good news story. And so, seek first the kingdom of God, come to him, and really, literally, go after the joy of Jesus' kingdom. They said yes. I mean, you might say, you might just write down the joy of Jesus' kingdom. Said, yes, I'm going after it. And on this paper here that you've circled, I would like to ask you to just write a big, thick arrow from the left to the right as your way of saying yes, a big, thick arrow that says, yes, Jesus' kingdom is available. It's breaking into the world. And I'm saying yes. I'm going that direction. I'm not doing a 360. I'm doing a 180. Got it? Big arrow. Something like that. Write an arrow from the left to the right, 180. Number two principle, when they did that, some more good news broke out. You get to verse 19 of chapter 2, and the word of the Lord says, because you responded and have gone after my kingdom, I'm telling you from this day on, I'm going to bless you. You've been through some hard times, but I'm telling you from this day on, I'm going to bless you. And it goes out to outline the blessings that are going to follow. And the New Testament principle here, when the blessing of God is opened up to you because you turn towards it, is to ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. And when you ask and it's given and you seek and you find and knock and the door is open, well, receive. So the second principle is his blessing outpoured, and when you begin to walk into that, well, ask, seek, and knock. I mean, literally, Jesus' followers that were trying to get restored themselves, that had come out of this mess on the left themselves in their day, they saw him full of the Spirit, full of life, full of radiance, and they said, how are you so close to God? And he told them about persistent praying and making himself available to God. This is Luke 11, which is for all of us. And then he said, and you just got to go after it. In so many words, Jesus said, you just got to go after it. You got to go after it. Ask and it'll be given you. Keep on asking. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And he ends up saying, if you being fallen like you are know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, who ask, seek, and knock? It's there for you. The blessing is available. Receive. And there's a verse there, Luke 12. And I want to say this to you, LifeSpring. It says, don't fear, little flock. The Father's chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He sees your hearts. Don't fear, little flock. The Father's chosen glad you to give you his kingdom. He sees your hearts. Kingdom of God and righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I wrote down a couple weeks ago something out of my heart. In so many lives, the real deal is happening here. Real lives, really growing in the Holy Spirit, in real relationships, in true bonding with one another. Real dwelling of God in the Spirit is happening in real ways. Take all the flake and the fluff going on in a lot of religion in this society, and it's not appealing to me at all, but I honor you. The real is happening here in many real lives. Do not fear, little flock. Father's chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He sees your heart. His power is available to you. Now, find Zechariah. Two life-giving principles. Principles of restoration out of Zechariah. You get into Zechariah, the second of the restoration books. Man. Get into chapter 1, 2, and 3, and the first principle of restoration becomes clear. If you've turned, if his blessing is flowing in your life, which it is when you've turned and made yourself available to a God of grace and power, it begins in chapter 1, this third principle of restoration. It begins with really the Zechariah form of James 4 that says, I tell you what, just draw near to God so that he can draw near to you. He's doing a work. He's cleaning you up. He's doing a deep work in you. Draw near to God so that he can draw near to you. That's 1:3. And then you get in chapter 2. It says, run, speak to that young man. It's interesting. You can make your own application of that. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. I will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Glory is holiness, purity, set free from corruption and filth and degeneration. And there's plenty of that in our society, isn't there? And he says, I'll be a wall of fire. You'll be purified by fire, and I'll be the glory in your midst. I'll make you holy so that my glory and my power can fill your life. And then we get to chapter 3. And you can write down principle number 3, principle of restoration, a full restoration to fullness of life, cleansing, purity, holiness. Show me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And there was a spiritual battle going on here in verse 2, and I'll come back to that. But in verse 3, Zechariah 3:3, it says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Ezekiel 36 says, all of your filthiness and all of your idols have just made me weep, but I'm going to clean you up, and I'm going to put my spirit within you, and you're going to live the way I created you to live, because enough is enough. And this is that kind of story right here, and you can apply it into your own life. The ways that you perhaps have been impacted by filthiness. So here we have, he was clothed with filthy garments, and the angel said, take away those filthy garments from him. Clean them off. Put off the old. Let's put on the new. I've taken your iniquity away, and I will clothe you with rejoicing robes, and let them put a clean turban on his head. Isn't that interesting? You're going to have new thoughts. Your head, your mind is going to work in new ways. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let that filth keep flowing through your mind. Put a new turban on your head. And I'll just tell you, a number of years ago, the Lord did a deep work in my life. I was already forgiven. I was already in the process of restoration. I was already being blessed of the Lord, and the grace of God was working. But there was a purification process, and it was in this chapter. It brought me right here, and I'm inviting you into it too, for whatever it means in your life. Make the most of it. Be really specific. It was a breakthrough story, this chapter was for me. Cleansing, purity, holiness. You see, you've asked his kingdom to come. He said, I'm going towards your kingdom. Your kingdom come on earth in me as it is in heaven. You've asked his kingdom to come in fire and power, so let him do it. What cleansing and sanctification work he needs to do, let him do it. You can be really specific. There's a list in Galatians 5, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, which is addiction, sorcery, which is the occult, enmity, which is hate, strife, unresolved conflict in some relationship, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, out of control carousing, causes all sorts of destruction. And it says those who practice those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So clean them out. Whatever it is specific for you and the Holy Spirit's doing in you, cooperate. Say, here I am. Clean me out, Lord. It's a beautiful thing. It's sanctification. It's maturity. It's growth. It's freedom. And it says here at the end of chapter 3, and I'll grant him free access. There's nothing hindering anymore. You got free access to heaven. You got free access to flowing in the Spirit wherever you go. It's really gloriously free. And you're invited into that. So you get really specific too. You're invited. On to number 4 principle. I say the best of all. Zechariah 4. You get into Zechariah 4. It's a principle of restoration. You've turned, you've made yourself available. You're asking, and welcoming and receiving his blessing, his love. He's undoubtedly doing some cleansing and purifying in the growing process and getting you more and more free. And then you discover that this new life is full of oil. And what's oil? What's oil in the Bible from the beginning to the end? What is oil? The Holy Spirit. And you discover that it's full of oil. It's anointing of oil. And you get, and so you have these olive trees, and they're full of oil all through this chapter. There's a full power of the Holy Spirit here. And you get to verse 6, and it says, the word of the Lord is, it's not by might, that is, by human might. It's not by power. It's not by your fleshly power. But it's by my Spirit, capital M, capital S. You are being offered to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've turned to the Lord. You've been cleansed and forgiven. The whole plan is for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit that whatever mountain of breakthrough is needed in your life will be removed, will come down with shouts of grace, grace to it. So you know what the mountains are. You know what the battles are in this fallen world. Some of them are inside, right? Some of them are around us in things that are on our heart to intercede for. And they're not going to come down by human power, folks. You know that. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we are invited, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're invited to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the core of the plan. Zechariah 4, anointing of the Holy Spirit. Write that down. In the Old Testament, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was applied outside. Now, you're aware, aren't you, that in the New Testament, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is applied inside. Look at this verse with me, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to look a couple of places real fast. And it's for you. It's for every single one of us, and we don't need to live in less than this. The end of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think I got it up here. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 1, 21, 22. Just talking about all his promises to us are yes, he's restoring us. Remember, he's taking us from steal, kill, destroy to life, life abundantly. Verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit within us, in our hearts, as a pledge. In the Old Testament, take a moment on this. In the Old Testament, like in Exodus 30:30, it said, take the anointing oil, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister as priests to me. Holy anointing oil, which represented God's anointed Spirit upon them. In 1 Samuel 16:13, and by the way, who are the priests now in the New Testament? According to 1 Peter 2 in the whole New Testament, who are the priests? Who are the priests in this room? All of you are. You are all qualified. You're a royal priesthood. You've been given full access to the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit is not only on you, the Holy Spirit is anointed within you. Don't live in less than that. Many people, even though some of the work of the Lord, are vulnerable to live in less than that. Don't live in less than that. 1 Samuel 16:13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that time forward. It's wonderful, but it's outside. You read again. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit within us, our hearts as a pledge. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are now a temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives within you? This is big deal. Are you cooperating? Are you welcoming? Are you maximizing? It's a new day. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, he really wants to come alive, come to me. Out of your innermost being, from within, will flow rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit. You get to Ephesians 3:16, and it says that you may be strengthened. The plan is for you to be strengthened by his power, by his Spirit in your inner being. Is that possible for you? Today, you can be strengthened? Absolutely. This is totally 100% available right now. Strengthen power by his Spirit in your inner being so that this mystery that was hidden from ages past but now in the new covenant is opened up to you, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory by the Holy Spirit. You can live just as he was, so also are we in this world. We're the body of Christ. Now we've got to present ourselves. We've got to welcome. We've got to cooperate. Too often we minimize this. Too often we live in far less. It's not anymore. For each one of you and for us together. I mean, you get the kingdom of God is so beautiful. I've been a part of it in many places, including here. It's going on all over the world in powerful places. When you get individual lives radiantly full of the Holy Spirit in deep bonded unity with each other, there's geometric multiplying power, the Holy Spirit that flows through that Holy Spirit power that's within and that's also bonded in horizontal unity, and it overflows in power and it breaks through. The kingdom of God is a beautiful thing. Don't ever settle for some emaciated little religious sickly substitute that's powerless and humanistic or something. Invite it in. This verse in Ephesians 3. As a young man, beginning to taste the goodness of the Lord, I said, I want all of the power of the Spirit in my life. Joey is very similar to that Thursday night a few months ago for you, for me. And I said, I want all of that in my life. And I opened myself, and I welcomed. And we don't need to fear, because he delights to give us the kingdom come with power. And there was prayer. There was prayer agreement, and I was aware there started to be a breakthrough of the presence of God. And you know what the presence of God felt like? As I was getting filled with the presence of God, as I was getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what it felt like? That's not a bad description. It was like a flood. It was a very warm flood, but the word that it most felt like was love, liquid love. And you told me that night when you welcomed the Holy Spirit in your life. You said, I don't know what, I've never felt it. I just feel like I'm full of love. Well, I knew what you were talking about. And I've known it hundreds of times over in many places in the world. And it's available to us here. And we are not to live in less than that, dear ones. Anointing of the Holy Spirit. Liquid love. It overflows. It's within. It's within. Don't settle for less. And even in hard times, I put a verse up there, Acts 13:52. They were in a tough place. They were in the midst of hostility and anger and opposition. And you know what it says at the end of that chapter of Acts 13? It says, and they were continually filled. It's inside thing. You see, in the new covenant, it's inside. They were continually filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, even in tough moments, in tough places, this is for us. It's for you. Okay. So. So, do not be drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The question is, how, and I'm asking this to each one of you for you to ask yourself. The question is, listen to this. How can you be maximum filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a core provision of the new covenant. It's right at the heart of restoration of your life. And don't settle for partial. The question is, how can you be maximum filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a core provision of the new covenant. If you ask him, he'll give, he'll show you. If there's something that needs to be taken care of, he'll show you that. You can be filled. So I want to put together a Holy Spirit promise verse with Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6 says, I tell you, this restoration is happening, and here's the picture. And I'm pointing to the new covenant is what the prophet was saying right then. It's not by might. It's not by human might. And it's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, capital M, capital S, my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain will be removed. Will come down with shouts of grace, grace to it. So whatever that battle is, you can win. Here's the promise verse. Move me on to there. More and more filled. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, if you have welcomed the Holy Spirit, if you have turned to the Lord, been forgiven through Christ, welcomed the Holy Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit now? In you. Have you welcomed the Holy Spirit there? You are a new covenant person. Don't live in less than that. So that's where the Spirit of the Lord is, you see. You got that? That's where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty. And we all, with unveiled faces now, you see, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. More and more of the glory of the Lord, the fire of His holiness, the radiance of His glory. I was riding towards the sunset, and there's this incredible sunset one of the evenings midweek. And I just thought, the radiance of His glory, and that's just a little bit of it. Fill us with Your glory. From where? Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. This is normal life now. But don't live in less than that. So, the question is, how can you be maximum filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a core provision of the new covenant. If you ask Him, He'll give you, He'll show you, He'll walk you into it. I want to sing, and I want Jordan and the team to come up here, and we're going to enter in. You are welcome into steps of restoration, steps of welcoming. Welcoming the Holy Spirit, welcoming the glory of the Lord, welcoming every step of restoration. Alice knows this song. It's Zechariah 4:6. Anybody that knows it, join me. Let it be a prayer song. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, says the Lord. Opening part of it again. It's the word of the Lord to you. You can be fully restored. And don't settle for less. Don't any of you settle for less. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Go ahead. Let's stand together. Present yourself to the Lord. Welcome the Holy Spirit. you want to pray about something specifically, I urge you to do that. Be happy to agree with anyone in prayer. You can pray where you're at. Welcome the Holy Spirit to fill you. You are welcome.